Thank you so very much. Please take God's word today. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7, titled this message today, Instructions. Instructions from the Word of God, as we think about our time together in the Sermon on the Mount. Beginning in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Notice what Christ tells us here. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or for he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts and good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Would you join me as we pray once again? Fathers, we look into your word today during this sacred, holy time. I pray your blessing upon us. I pray that you would strengthen us as your people. May this time together looking into your word grow us, mature us, shape us, and mold us a little bit more into your image today. Thank you for your people who are here. Watch over each and every one. Bless us now as we continue. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's difficult to believe, but we are almost through with the Sermon on the Mount. Next week, our adult choir will be singing, of course, and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And I will actually finish the rest of chapter 7 on Easter Sunday. We're going to talk about Jesus' invitation. Jesus has preached a message, he's preached a sermon, and he ends it in chapter 7 with an invitation. Whose foundation are you going to build upon? And we will cover that, of course, after that on Easter Sunday. Then after that, we're going to take an extended tour through the book of Ecclesiastes, an Old Testament book that was written thousands of years ago, but is absolutely applicable to our life and to our world today. Solomon tried to find meaning and purpose in this life apart from God, and he came to some very interesting and powerful conclusions. So we will begin that later on in April. But for today, I wanted to come and think about these last instructions that Jesus is giving. His sermon is almost through. The teaching for this particular hour is almost over. And so he ends today with some instructions, with some conclusions, dare we say. That based upon what has been shared up to this point, what are the conclusions that Jesus offers us? I'll tell you, the first five verses of this passage obviously deal with how we pray, with the attitude of prayer. These are the final instructions, if you will, that Jesus is giving to us. And they're ones, obviously, that we need to heed, that we as God's people need to grab a hold of and learn to live. So let's think about them. There's only four things I want to share with you today, but I want to take a little bit of time with each of them. So let's go ahead and say this. Number one, the last conclusion, one of the first conclusions is this. We are to seek God's will through prayer. We, as God's people, as residents, as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are to seek God as we pray. Now, you know this verse well, but let's look at it for just a moment. Jesus gives us three commands in verse number 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open unto you. We are to seek God's will through prayer. Now, why would I say that? I say that on the basis of what we talked about at the end of the message time last week. Do you remember what we talked about in verse number 6 about keeping the truth holy, about holding to the truth, about the objective standards of truth, the truth that is as it has been revealed in Scripture? We're to hold to the truth, we're to continue to teach it, and we're continue to allow it to change us. And so when we say seek God's will, that is what seemingly, on the basis of the context, Jesus has in mind. About seeking His will, about seeking His heart, about seeking what He would have for us to do. So because of that, I would tell you that verse number 7 is not an open-ended promise that God is going to give us anything we want if we just knock hard enough and seek long enough and ask long enough. No, He's a Heavenly Father. He is our Heavenly Father. He knows what we need, and He's not obligating us and Himself to do anything that is beyond His will or anything that will harm us. But the idea here is actually this in verse number 7. It's a continual action in the original language. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seeking God, seeking Him perseveringly, seeking Him urgently, seeking Him persistently. Why? So that He may ultimately change us. You know, that's His goal. God's goal is to change us. If you don't believe in change, you don't believe in salvation. It's all about change. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. In Isaiah, God says, I want to do a new thing in you. So if you don't like change, then you don't like Christianity. We are to seek God's will through prayer so that He will change us, so that He will change how we believe. What do we know what it is that we should believe? Well, it's been revealed in Scripture. But it also is revealed as we pray, as we seek God's face. We need to know what it is that we need to believe. We need to have right beliefs, because right beliefs lead to right thinking. If we believe the right things, we will think the right things. Now, if you want to know what's wrong with our society today and what's wrong with the world, people think the wrong things. Their thinking is all off. People in our society today, and I'm not mad at them, by the way, we shouldn't be surprised that they think this way. If they're lost, if the evil one has blinded their eyes, if they are dead and trespasses in sin, we shouldn't be surprised when lost people act like lost people. We shouldn't be surprised when the world acts like the world. No, I'm not mad at them, but I want you to just draw that contrast. There should be something different about us. We are not of this world. We're in it. But we're not to be of it. So we need to be thinking the right things. Whatsoever is good, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is reasonable, whatsoever is lovely. Think on these things. We are to seek God's will through prayer so that we can learn to think and learn to believe correctly so that we'll learn to act right. Amen. Isn't that the way the process goes? We believe, we think, and then we act. We act on what we believe. We act on what we think. Every action is first a thought. Now, many of our actions today are so involuntary that we don't really think about it in a conscious sort of way, but it begins in the mind. I cannot move my hand like this without my mind being engaged at the first. It happens automatically now, but it's still important what we think. Seek God's will through prayer. Keep asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. But there's a warning, and that's number 2. We're to seek God's will through prayer, but notice that God reveals His will, notice those last 3 words, in His time. He reveals it in His time. In verse number 8, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. That is a promise that when we seek God for His will, when we seek God through guidance and for guidance, that He will answer, but only in His timetable. See, that's the catch, isn't it? That is where we get tripped up as God's people. We want to know what is it that God wants us to do, and that's a good thing. Paul asked that when he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's obviously a good question for us as God's people to ask. There's certainly nothing wrong with doing that, but we must understand that God gives us information when He's ready to, and not when I'm ready for it. And He gives it when He's ready, not necessarily when we're ready. We want it right away. We live in an instantaneous society. We can get almost anything we want instantly. Think about it. The things that used to take people days and weeks and months, we can now receive in a matter of moments, sometimes even seconds. But that's not always the way God works. Matter of fact, let me say this. That's rarely the way God works. That's rarely the way God works. And so when you ask the Lord how long, I want you to know you're in good company today. The psalmist asked often, Lord, how long? Job asked, Lord, how long till you reveal yourself? Even Jesus, in those moments before the cross, cried out, "Father, if there is any other way, please let this cup pass from me. Oh Lord, how long?" That's a question that God's people have been asking, I believe literally, since the garden. Since the fall, maybe I should say that. So perhaps you're here today and you are seeking God. You really are. You're seeking, you're asking, you're knocking. I mean, you're bombarding the gates of heaven and you're praying fervently with all your might, but God still hasn't revealed it yet. What am I to do, Pastor? Well, I wish I could tell you that there's an easy step-by-step process you follow and you'll have the answer by tonight. I'd write a book and we'd all live well after that if we could find that answer, right? We'd all live well. But obviously, that does not exist. God reveals Himself in His time and in His way. So I would say these two things for you. If you're in that time of waiting, listen, understand this, that that's where God does His best work. God often does His best work in the time of waiting. Look about through Scripture. Joseph had to wait. God gave him this dream that he was going to be this great world leader. But he had to wait for many years, difficult years. Moses waited for years until God began to truly use him. Joshua, his assistant, waited for 40 years before God used him to lead the people and to conquer the promised land. David was revealed and he was anointed as the next king of Israel, but it would take years before it would all come to pass. Even Jesus waited. You know, the Bible speaks of Jesus when he's around the age of 12, when they go to Jerusalem and he becomes separated from his parents and they find him in the Jerusalem temple and he's asking questions and he became separated from that. That happened around the age of 12. And then nothing is heard from Jesus from age 12 to around age 30. 18 years. What was he doing? Well, we're not for sure. But it was in that waiting process that even Jesus had to undergo that God reveals Himself. If you're in that waiting process, I know it's difficult. I know you want the answer. I've been right where you are. But trust God. He wants to do something. Even when it seems like He's a million miles away. Even when it seems like He's not doing anything, He is. It's just that we can't see it. We can't perceive it. So don't despise that time. Learn from it. And know that you can trust Him. Know that you can trust Him. Because I've seen Him answer prayers. I've seen Him come through. What I'm sharing with you today, thankfully God has allowed me to live long enough to understand that it's not just theoretical, it's very practical. God indeed answers prayers. God indeed comes through. It may be at the last moment. It may be when the waves are about to crash in on you. But I want you to know God will give you the answer just when you need it. He is our good, loving, heavenly Father. So don't give up. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. See, God wants us to seek Him. And He will reveal Himself through prayer. He will reveal Himself in this time. But now He goes on and even amplifies it further. Number three. God gives us good gifts. That ought to make you smile right there, church family. God gives us good gifts. Now, to amplify what he is saying in verses 7 and 8, let's look at verse number 9. Jesus answers and says this, "What man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Now, he's using an illustrative exaggeration, once again, hyperbole language. What a man among you, if your child asks for a piece of bread, is going to give him a stone? The obvious answer is not any of you will do that. What man among you, or what parent among you, if his child asks for a piece of fish, is going to give him a snake? And of course, these are rhetorical questions. The answer, obviously, is no one's going to do that. No good parent is going to give something to his child or her child that will either be useless to them or will harm them. And Jesus says, if that's true of us, sinners, rebellious, evil, I didn't say it, Jesus did. if you, being evil, being limited, sinners, evil, especially against the backdrop of the holiness of God, if we can handle that, don't you think your Heavenly Father knows what you need and knows what I need and can give us what we need when we need it? God gives us good gifts. He is our Heavenly Father. I mentioned this in our small group this morning. That word Father there to describe God, that was totally new in Jesus' day. You didn't describe God, Yahweh, in this manner. Jesus gives us a whole new paradigm, a whole new way of looking at Him as our Heavenly Father who gives us good gifts. You remember when you were a child? Most of us, now perhaps there are some exceptions to this. Maybe some of you had to grow up really early and really soon. But for the most part, when we were young, we didn't think a whole lot about things like the water bill or the power bill. When I was 5 or 6 years old, I had no conception of those things. I just knew that, you know, you turn the water on and there's water. You turn the light on and there it is. We trusted our parents to take care of that, right? We trusted our parents to put food on the table. I was 6, 7 years old. I had no thought. I mean, I knew where the grocery store was, but I had no idea what food cost and how hard you had to work to be able to put it on the table until I had to do it myself. I mean, that's the way it is of all of us. We just did what? We just trusted our parents to take care of that for the most part. And God wants us to trust Him in the same manner. We're His child. He is our Father. We can trust Him even when we don't understand. We can trust Him even when it seems like all hope is lost. We can trust Him even when the circumstances don't dictate that we trust Him. We can trust Him no matter what may be going on around us. Why? Because He is our Heavenly Father and He knows what we need. If you and I, being who we are, can somehow manage to take care of our children, cannot God do the same with us? Can He not answer our prayers? Can He not? Of course He can. That's the point He's making. Trust Him today. Trust Him. Because He knows what we need. Now, once again, verses 9 and 10 basically also describe why verse number 7 is not an open-ended invitation for us just to ask and God is obliged to give it to us. Because let's be honest, sometimes we ask for things that are not in His will. Sometimes we ask for things that are really not good for us. Isn't that what James says? We have not because we ask not. And even when we do ask, we ask amiss. We ask it selfishly. We ask what we want, not what we need. And so once again, God is good. He gives us things not always what we want, but what we need. And He never allows anything to come to us that is unhelpful or that is harmful. Now hold to that, folks. Listen, I know sometimes when you're hurting, it feels like harm. But that's not always the case. Just because there's hurt, just because there's pain, doesn't mean that God is trying to kill you or destroy you or even harm you. He does it for our good. Because as our Heavenly Father, He knows what we need.
Amen.
Much better than we do. So we can seek after Him. God will reveal Himself. If you're keeping asking and seeking and knocking, trust that one day He's going to come through. It may be today, who knows? It may be this week, I don't know. But I know that when you ask for His will, and when you ask for His wisdom, and when you ask for those things that honor and please Him, those things that allow us to serve Him, He's going to give them to us at just the right time, just when we need Him. Finally this, the last concluding instruction, treat others as you wish to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, did you notice there in verse number 12, the first word, therefore? As you study the Bible, look for those connecting words. Therefore connects back. It's not just a random statement that's thrown in here. Therefore, as a result of the fact that we can see God and that He's going to answer us in His time and His way, as a result of the fact that He will take care of us as a parent takes care of a child, we are now free to live in a way that honors and pleases Him. To do unto others as they would have us to do unto you. Jesus said that's the law and the prophets. This is the summary of the law. Jesus would tell us also a little bit later on in the book of Matthew. Someone asked him, what's the greatest commandment? You remember what Jesus said? Love God with everything you have. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's a little different thought, but it's really very similar, isn't it? The summary of the law of how we are to treat one another is this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Can you imagine our society today if we all tried to do this? I'm not saying to be perfect because we're all still sinners. It would be a much sight better though, I'm sure. This is God's desire for us. As a result of all that God has done for us, now we can do what He calls us to do. We don't have to live life worrying, is God going to come through? Am I going to have enough to eat? No, Jesus already said here, I will provide for you. Your Heavenly Father knows. You don't have to worry about those things. I'm going to provide for you. Your Father knows. If He allows the birds to be fed, He's going to feed you. If He clothes the grass of the field, He's going to clothe you. He knows what we need. And we're free from all that worry and from all that doubt and from all that fear. We're free now to seek after the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're free to seek after and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We're free in order to be able to live the best kind of life. And I would submit to you today that the Bible way, the Christian way, is the best kind of life there is. Yes. Now, it's not the easiest life. It's not a life where we indulge ourselves. It's really a life where we deny ourselves. But it's really the best way to live. We can live with such peace. We can lay our heads down at night knowing that no matter what we face, our Heavenly Father has already seen it. Our Heavenly Father already has the answer. Our Heavenly Father's already gone before us. What peace that brings. We can live in peace. We can live in trust. We can live in self-control. We don't have to live like the other half of the world lives. Out of control, seeking and searching and trying to find something that's not really there. Trying to find love in all the wrong places. You and I, as God's people, we have the opportunity to live the best way. For Jesus. Amen. For eternity. We have a promise of a home in heaven. I mean, what more do we need? What can man do to me? If God be for us, who can be against us? We have been made overcomers. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So now we're free simply to live as He calls us to live. To trust Him, to believe Him, to pray, to look into His face, to look into His Word, to look into the faces of His people week by week. And He's done it all. Amen. And everything that we do from this point forward is as a result of that. Everything that we do from this point forward is because of what He's already done for us. Please hear me now. I'm almost done. Please hear me. Jesus didn't give us these commands so that we could try to follow them and please Him and be saved. No. We know that's impossible. We know that by the works of the flesh, no one is justified. And that we have all sinned. And that we have all come short of the glory of God. When we talk about how we should live, it's always based on the foundation of what Christ has already done for us. It's a result of our salvation. Works don't cause salvation, but they're the result. They're the outworkings, the outcroppings. So please don't misunderstand me today. This message is for the believer. For the Christian, for those who are a part of the kingdom of God. Now, perhaps you're not there yet. Perhaps you're not to this point. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you today, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. You don't want to put it off any longer. Some of you, you've been putting it off for weeks, months, even years. Don't wait any longer, friends. You say, Pastor, how is it possible? Turn from your sin. That's what the word repent means. It means to turn around from. Instead of trying to be justified in your own sight, in your own way, instead of trying to be good enough and holy enough and righteous enough, which, by the way, is absolutely exhausting. Instead of doing that, just forsake all that and turn and believe
Believe what, Pastor? Believe what Jesus said and believe what this word says about him. Believe that he lived for you, that he died for you, that he paid your debt, that he died in your place, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. And that resurrection is important because it tells us that Jesus is not a liar. Listen, if you can predict your own death and predict your own resurrection, you're God. Show me anybody that can do that that's not God. Because there's only been one person that has done that. And he is God. There's only one person that has done that. Believe, trust in him, and simply call upon him. You can have eternal life today. Your sins can be forgiven, and you can be placed in the family of God. And then you're free to just live. No matter if you've got 50 years left, 5 years left, a year left, you're free just to live it for Jesus and see him do miracles through you.
Amen.
Will you trust in him today? Dear church family, some of you, I know that you're struggling. I know that you're praying, you're seeking, you're asking, you're knocking. You're seeking, you're asking, you're knocking. I've just got two words for you. Three words. Don't give up.
Amen.
Just don't give up. The answer may be right around the corner. And remember what Jesus said. Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened.
Yes.
Let's pray.